Welcome to the world today. My name is Frank Weltner. I am the librarian for JewWatch, the largest compendium of information about Jewish organizations and news on the internet today. In addition, I am the librarian and archivist for a new website, www.americanussr.com, which is already the largest compendium of history concerning the negative aspects of the United States of America, which the CIA, FBI, the presidency, the Congress, and all other agencies of the United States want you to know nothing about. We are all in the need of a true reality test, for we live in a nation and a world which is filled with deceptions and lies. A world in which thousands of people, in thousands of agencies, in every country around the world, are right now feverishly making up new deceits with which to confuse the people of this world. Let me read to you something that I have just come over recently, which I've known about, but I haven't brought it up in a long, long time. So let's look at this. It seems that a former senior British intelligence officer who held a key post at the heart of Britain's intelligence operations during the Cold War period, which was a period of extreme lies and deceit, just like today's period is. And I don't know which one is worse, today's or the Cold War. They're probably just about the same. Both of them represent corrupt governments, corrupt agencies, corrupt ideas, which were designed by people with the intent of deceiving everyone. At any rate, these intelligence operations during the Cold War period, the man has just produced a book that throws some glaring light on the highly discreditable role played at that time by his and other Western agencies in worsening the threat of war. Secretary of the Cabinet Office Joint Intelligence Committee in 1972 to 1975, and a top-ranking official at GCHQ, the British government's Cheltenham Center for Intelligence Monitoring of International Signals, which is, of course, spying globally on transmission of messages by radio, television, and other means. The author Michael Herman has called his revealing study Intelligence, Power, and Peace in War. It portrays the Western intelligence agencies, among which the CIA was the dominant partner. It was closely and still is connected with GCHQ, as operating virtually independently and uncontrollably and manipulating Cold War policies and tensions. Above all was the feeding of assessments and reports to NATO governments on alleged Soviet arms programs and military planning for attack, assessments and reports that were unfounded, wildly exaggerated, or projected worst-case scenarios, according to Herman, as if they were the order of the day. The alarmist estimates, made in a tone of dire warning, made it appear throughout the Cold War that the Soviet Union constituted a massive threat to the West that had to be countered by even more massive responses. The deliberate and calculated activity of the intelligence agencies, in other words, stimulated vast military expenditure, especially on the continual development and upgrading of nuclear weaponry. Herman claims that false intelligence reports of Soviet intentions led to re-equipping the British submarine-borne Polaris missiles with new warheads costing a further $2 billion in the 1970s, and then with Polaris being replaced by the Trident missile costing nearly $20 billion. The picture painted by Herman is of an arms race whipped along by lies, resulting in ever-rising expenditure of billions of dollars by both sides, ruinous for one and near ruinous for the other. As bad as things were in the Cold War, they've been even worse in our lifetime, recently. Lies that have been promulgated by the presidency of the United States and by the CIA have spawned such tragedies as two Iraqi wars and an Afghani war. These estimates that are constantly put up by the CIA to the president are sometimes ordered by the president, and when presented and they aren't quite as dire enough, then the president will send them back to the CIA and ask for better ones. Ones that show more discord, more unreasonable estimates of an enemy's situation vis-a-vis their weaponry. And so the wars that we've been fighting in the last 10 or 20 years in the Middle East for Israel are wars that, well, they shouldn't have been fought to begin with. If the estimates had been honest, if we had people working for the CIA who weren't filled with hatred for the rest of the world and for the American people themselves, enough hatred that they would create unreasonable estimates of weapons merely with the idea of starting trouble and possible wars which will destroy our economy, which will remove the arms and legs from our young people who are fighting wars that are totally unnecessary. The fact that the CIA is filled with people with evil intent is a threat to our national security and represents something that the American people need to put an end to. We do not need agencies like the CIA projecting critical misinterpretations of weaponry of our so-called enemies with the idea that we can then be driven into a war easily with vast expenditures of money. Such an agency as the CIA is, as I say, a threat to our national security, and this agency must end its tenure of threats against our nation, for they are the ones who have caused us to go to war again and again, and to increase our weaponry and our nuclear response capabilities again and again in situations which they made up out of nothing. Their calculations were nothing but fantasies created for a country that had long since pretty much lost its mind, a country that was wayward and looking about for something to do with its vast sums of money. And it seemed to the country that the best thing it could do would be to waste its money on war expenditures, on expenditures of bizarre weaponry. And so they fed one upon the other. The CIA fed upon the desire of the Republic for wars that would threaten the American Republic, whether the threats were real or not, so that the people within America would bow down before the great duchy in the District of Columbia, the little duchy of criminals there that want the people of the United States to always do exactly what that nation wants. Well, it may be good for the presidency to pretend that there's a war constantly in the offing. It may give them more response from the American people. But does it do anything good for America? No. In fact, all wars that are unnecessary, which are projected by the CIA and by the presidency, are situations in which the United States becomes closer and closer to annihilation through a war that has been created, possibly in the very near future, in which nuclear weapons themselves may eventually come to the forefront, and of which the United States is particularly vulnerable. The United States is a country of cities. Cities themselves are killing fields. They're places where people come and gather close together, so that a single mushroom cloud can kill millions and millions of people within a split second. Such a situation is untenable, making war itself more dangerous than ever before, because the weaponry and the pattern of population is such that huge damage could be done to all of our people. War must be avoided at all costs, and projections of wars that are unrealistic must be avoided. And this means that dangerous agencies such as the CIA, if necessary, should be totally dismantled. We may not long be able to live in a nation filled with CIAs and with government agencies that are willing to make unreasonable projections simply because a president needs to have a war in order to stay in office, or in order to win a new election, or in order to get more Congress people from his party elected in the next election. These are dangers beyond calculation, dangers for each and every one of us to take a look at. Do you really want to die in a war for patriotism, false patriotism based on false estimates of weaponry, on false projections of yellow uranium that is being fraudulently reported as having been purchased by Iraq from Nigeria, when in fact it didn't even happen? Do you want to have a war based on such information that is false and was originally promulgated just to deceive you? I don't think so. And if you do want something like that, then perhaps you should find yourself a new country, because this country cannot last long in a nuclear annihilation war. For we, again, have more cities than anyone else, which means our people are more packed together than anyone else. And that means that in such a war, we would have the highest losses, and we would be most subject to instant defeat. Things are looking dire indeed for the Democratic Party, because Republican-leaning states will gain at least half a dozen more House seats thanks to the 2010 census, which found the nation's population growing more slowly than in past decades, but still shifting to the South and West. The Census Bureau announced Tuesday that the nation's population on April 1st was 308,745,000, up from 281.4 million a decade ago. The growth rate for the past decade was 9.7%, the lowest since the Great Depression. The nation's population grew by 13.2% from 1919 to 2000. Now, I would like to pose the following question. Why is it so good for the United States population to grow and grow and grow? Do the number of acreages in the United States grow and grow and grow? The answer is no. What happens to acreage in the United States? It stays the same. Real estate is not increasing, and yet the population is. We're talking over 10% population growth. What good is this doing anybody? It's doing maybe malls business in terms of more people to shop. Maybe there's more business and more taxes for the federal government, and maybe more welfare for the federal government to pay out to people who can't work. But it really does you and I no good whatsoever. It means that less and less is available for us to share, with more and more people being born and shoved into the country either through illegal immigration or legal immigration. And either way, you and I lose. Because we don't gain a thing. We find our roads becoming more crowded. We find more and more people vying for gasoline and for oil and for natural gas and for electricity, so that the cost of these things goes higher and higher for us. And so the federal government must pump out more and more money to increase the supply of money for the inflation that's being generated by the population boost. And what good does this do anybody? Michigan, in this census, was the only state to lose population during the past decade. Nevada, with a 35% increase, was the fastest-growing state. These new numbers in the census are a boon for Republicans, with Texas leading the way among GOP-leaning states that will gain House seats, mostly at the Rust Belt's expense. Following each once-a-decade census, the nation must reapportion the House's 435 seats to make them roughly equal in population, with each state getting at least one seat. And of course, whether you realize it or not, after the last census, we had 640,000 constituents for each congressman. But since we've gone up 13%, that's going to go over 700,000 per representative. And what good does that do you? You've never met with your congressman, you've never talked with him, you've never had breakfast with him, you've never been able to tell him what it is that you want him to represent you and to do for you in Washington, because there are too many of you and too few of him. And now there's even more of you and fewer of him. 700,000 of you for each congressman. Can you imagine? What chance do you have of ever being represented? This fiction of democracy is absurd. Because these people, they don't have to worry about you. All they have to do is get enough money for advertising to get enough of you to vote for them so that they can be returned to office. And they never have to consider any single law that you want to have passed or any single law that you want to have removed from the legislative slate. You, in other words, will never be recognized as any kind of an entity or anything of significance in this so-called democracy. You will be nothing. You will be an economic unit, something to be born, to be taxed, and then to be wiped from the scrolls as soon as you die. And of course, as you perpetuate yourself and your people throughout the Republic, guess what? They're replacing you more and more with Arabs who are Islamic, with Indians who are Hindi, and with more and more people who are unlike you, so that your entire civilization and your way of life is being totally crushed. That's how little the government cares about you. While you were concerning yourself with the many problems in your life this week, the FCC was making rules about the Internet, which may change everything that you see and hear on the Internet in the near future. The new FCC rules could be less important to day-to-day web surfing now than they will be to shaping how you access and use that Internet years from now. Because in the future, the Internet industry, after these decisions were made, will be increasingly centered around online video, gaming, and mobile services. Those are the fastest-growing categories of Internet traffic, which broadband network hardware provider Cisco Systems, Inc. recently forecast could quadruple by 2014. Recently, Mr. Genachowski suggested that instead of selectively slowing certain traffic to clear network congestion, broadband providers could consider charging customers on a pay-as-you-go basis. That would mark a departure from the flat monthly fees most consumers pay now for unlimited web access. You see, this is the sadisticness of the American people, the absolute corruption, the evil at the heart of America, which is the dollar. Money, that everything can be driven by the dollar, that the poor can be left behind, that those without money can be denied access to common services, such as the information that is provided by the Internet. This evil is just unbelievable. And yet you people put up with this. How can you live in a country that is so unconcerned about your welfare? I don't understand you. You allow these people to make these decisions that affect you and pull money from your wallet day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. Why don't you stand up and be a man or a woman and tell these people what you want? Why don't you tell them that they can't let these capitalist pigs make these decisions about your future money and draining it from your pockets? Carriers of the Internet say privately they are concerned that one day the only alternatives left to make a profit off the Internet and pay for network infrastructure is to charge consumers for the amount of data they consume. Oh, I'm sure that would bring a tear to the heart of any carrier, that they would have to charge you for every bit of data that you consume. Well, of course, they would love it, because what they want to do is to charge you. They want to get as much out of your pocket as they possibly can, because they're basically, ladies and gentlemen, exactly what the Russians said in the Cold War. These are capitalist pigs. These are the Jews of New York who own the Internet and own everything that you see around you. And they have been picking your pocket for many, many centuries and decades, all over the world and now in America. These new rules would allow phone and cable companies to sell faster priority delivery services for extra money. Particularly on wireless networks, that means a video streaming company like Google Inc. could pay a wireless company extra for guaranteed delivery of its YouTube videos to consumers' smartphones. But FCC officials said any such priority service would have to be disclosed to regulators, and the rules warn that such pay-for-priority plans, if used on landline networks, would be unlikely to satisfy the FCC's new standards, which could prompt legal challenges. For example, the American Library Association and other consumer groups said that high-speed toll lanes must be banned so that all Americans have the same quality internet access, which is exactly what I just said. You have a right to information. Before I began in radio, I was a librarian. I was a member of these library agencies, and I understand how the people of this country should all have a right to the same information services without having to pay for them. In my opinion, all networks, including wireless networks, should be provided free of charge to every American, and no one should be able to buy more access than anyone else, because if they can, it means they will have more information than you have, and you will always, for your entire life, be at a disadvantage. Overall, wireless network users will have significantly fewer protections under the new rules. And of course, that's the way we're all going. Eventually, you're not going to plug your computer into the wall. That's ridiculous. You're going to be on a wireless. Everything is going to be wireless. And so all of these rules are going to pertain to you. What they're doing is they're slowly shifting the internet into a private situation, similar to the situation that you have in the frequencies on AM and FM radio and on television. These frequencies are privately owned, and soon your wireless networks will be privately owned. And you may eventually be in the same situation that you are with AM radio, where you won't be able to put up a website, but the people with money will be able to. The FCC's 3-2 decision is a mixed bag for consumers. Isn't that something? You have a decision by 3-2. You have 308 million Americans, and there are 5 people on the FCC, and by a decision of one person, 3-2, the FCC's made a decision as to what's going to happen on the internet. These people aren't elected by anybody. You didn't vote for the FCC. These people were put there by politicians, the most corrupt people in the known world. And now, by one person, they're deciding what you're going to pay for services and what everyone else is going to pay for services. And how did they decide? They're deciding in favor of Google and other companies that want to shove movies and so forth to you, and they're willing to compromise the entire internet as we know it in order to make this possible and to make it profitable for them. Well, what do you care if this is profitable for them or not? I don't care if it is. Do you? The internet's not broke. Why did you want to fix something that's not broke? Why do you want to change it? Why do you want these capitalist pigs who hate you, who charge you for everything that they can gouge a dime out of you for? Why would you trust them with something as important as your information on the internet, which is the eyeball through which you view everything in this world? If they cloud your eyeball by charging you money to where you can't use your eyeball to see anymore, you're going to be cut off totally from the information sources that you need to make wise decisions, and you need to stop this immediately. Call your congressman, call your senator, tell them you want this FCC review stopped, that you want the internet to stay the way it is, and you want everybody to be able to be insured of internet service, not only for money, but in the future for no money whatsoever, because this is the future of your world, and your world's future should not be controlled by whether or not you can participate based on the amount of money that you have. Your amount of money should have nothing to do with it. That's like saying, well, we're going to charge you for your eyeballs. We know that you use your eyeballs to read and to see television, and to do whatever you want to do, and we're going to charge you more for the vision that you have in your eyeball, which is a natural thing that you have. The internet is like your eyeball, it's an extension of it, and to charge you for that, for what you can see using this new tool, is ridiculous. This needs to be reconsidered. The new rules, which haven't been released in full, isn't that interesting? They haven't released them in full. You're going to have to follow these rules by these pigs at the FCC who decided by a majority of one person out of five that you're going to have changes. These new rules, which you haven't seen yet because they haven't released them, is they're going to be whatever they want to come up with, state that landline broadband providers can't block legal content from websites or unreasonably discriminate against companies like Skype or Netflix that want to use broadband networks to provide video or voice services. They also require that broadband providers give consumers more information about their internet service, like actual download speeds or usage limits. But these rules come with some wiggle room for the industry. Broadband providers can engage in reasonable network management to cope with congestion on their systems. Wireless companies are less restricted by the new rules, a win for the wireless industry, because more and more consumers are accessing the web using handheld devices such as iPhones and BlackBerries. And of course, since that's the future of the internet, we'll all be using these devices in the future. You'll be walking around with the internet in your hand, listening to radio, watching television, doing everything that you do on the internet. And guess what? Now, because of these pigs, 3 to 2, they can charge you more and more for what you're looking at on your little phone. Of course, it doesn't cost them a dime for this. Oh, they're going to say that it costs them a lot of money for broadband, but as the communications industry increases its technological advantages, they will be spending less and less per little piece of data, as they do right now also. You're getting 100 times the data that you got just 10 years ago on the internet, and you're getting it cheaper than you got it back then. But these pigs want to make money off of you. They want to screw you over like they always do. And of course, this is America, and you, the American consumer, love to be screwed over by these people. You love to be cheated. You love to be lied to. You love to pay for war after war after war that these killer agencies like the CIA can provide false information to support. And the false information to support whatever the FCC is doing here is being provided for you, and the poison is being poured into your ear by the FCC and by everyone else who wants to make money off of this. The FCC wants to make money because they know that when they retire from the FCC, they'll be working for Comcast or some other company that deals with wireless, and they'll be having money poured down their throat and their mouth for everything that they did to you that allowed these big companies to charge you over and over and over again for something that cost them next to nothing. The FCC rule suggests that the agency will be more restrictive in allowing landline providers to create high-speed toll lanes on their network. Some broadband providers have considered giving faster delivery for video and games, but only if the companies that produce that content agree to pay extra costs. Well, there aren't that many extra costs. Everything is getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, but they won't allow this kind of rivalry among companies because that reduces their profits. And what reduces their profits reduces the money that's being stuffed into the wallets of the FCC people after they retire. The more they can give to these companies, the more they can earn after they leave that agency and begin to work for the pig that is trying to corrupt them at this very moment. Don't let these people do this to you over and over again. Stand up for yourselves. Realize that your company is as corrupt as Satan himself. And call your congressman, call your senator and say, I don't want anything to change on the FCC. I don't want any extra charges, period. We're living in a technological age in which technology jumps 4 times every year, and in which we can expect cheaper costs month by month by month And we don't need to be telling these people that they can charge this and they can charge that, because if we tell them they can, guess what? They will. And that is not what we need. One of the things that is so obvious in these stories about the internet is the fact that what is going on is being obscured by the wording of the reporters and their editors in the newspapers. It is almost impossible to tell from the wording what the Republicans are doing and what the Democrats are doing. But it seems that the Republicans like this new ruling by the FCC. I don't see exactly how they came up with this, but that's what they claim. Well, if the Republicans like it, then it's probably something that's bad for the consumer, because the Republicans are always for the greedy SOB at the top of the company. The man who walks off with all the money while the workers toil in the fields and the factories. The people who take all of the goodies and put it in their own pockets so that you and I can't have it. That's what the Republicans want. Advantage. They want corruption. They want money for the filthy rich. And for the filthy poor, they want even less and less. In fact, if they could kill you, they probably would. Of course, if they kill you, they can't sell to you. So they have to keep some of you around. They have to keep you around, even if they have to feed your children by throwing apples from their cars as your starving children show them their ribs by lifting up their t-shirts and saying, feed me, I'm starving. Well, I may have over-articulated this, but I think, in general, we all know what the Republicans want, which is money for the rich and poor situations for the poor. They like that. They love that spread, don't they? They love the rich to get richer and the poor to get poorer, and they will always love it. And that's what I dislike about the Republicans. The Democrats, on the other hand, want to keep the poor poor also, because if the poor aren't poor, they won't have to vote Democratic. And then where would the Democrats be? The entire nation is based upon thousands of lost causes, such as the Republican and the Democratic cause, both of which will eventually neutralize themselves as the country, if it's pulled apart like this, begins finally to collapse. A Senate deal to fund the federal government until early March doesn't include money to enact the health care overhaul or stepped-up regulation of Wall Street, boosting Republican efforts to curb key elements of President Barack Obama's domestic agenda. Democrats last week sought $1 billion to expand federal agencies to cope with health care demands as part of a proposed $1.1 trillion spending bill. That measure died after Senate Republicans closed ranks against it under pressure from conservative activists. The doomed budget plan also included spending increases sought by Democratic leaders for two agencies granted new responsibilities by the Dodd-Frank Financial Regulation Law, passed in response to the Wall Street crisis of 2008 and 2009. In other words, our Republican friends want to make sure that the banks do not have anyone overseeing them, or at least as little as possible. The same Republicans who got rid of the Glass Bill, which made it possible for the banks to get themselves into trouble. The $250 billion deal to pay for the government until March the 4th, which is expected to come to the Senate floor for a vote on Tuesday, freezes spending for the most government programs at 2010 levels. This deal is expected to clear the Senate and House before current government spending authority expires. The proposed short-term funding measure would kick the larger spending debate into the new year, when Republicans will control the House and have more Senate seats. It will also start the bargaining between congressional Republicans and the White House at a lower funding level than the now-defunct Democratic plan. Obama administrations could shift money around within federal agencies to keep health care and Wall Street regulation on track, But Republicans could try to block such moves through legislation. It's going to be a big political fight, said Richard Shelby, Republican of Alabama. I think the odds shift toward Republicans. Senate Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus of Montana said that he was confident Democrats could still win funding battles for health care and financial regulation. Clearly, the fewer resources devoted to any program, the harder it is to implement it, he said. Congressional Republicans have said they will try to defund enactment of the health care law's least popular provisions, particularly Internal Revenue Service efforts to enforce the requirement that most Americans carry health insurance. So there we have it. The president is campaigning to be the president based on the fact that he's going to get the parties to agree with each other to rule in a calm and collective manner. So what do we have? Just the opposite. One problem after another. A little-known maverick weatherman by the name of Piers Corbin not only predicted the current weather, but he believes that things are going to get much worse. The man who repeatedly beats the Weather Bureau at its own game has announced that a mini ice age is about to begin. And it will begin this winter with one blizzard after another in Europe and in the United States of America and elsewhere in the Northern Hemisphere. It seems that global warming has tipped the balance so that huge back-and-forth movements of air will super cool the weather and cause us to enter this mini ice age. And this will only be the beginning of something that will be similar to an ice age going on for 10 or 20 or 30 years, and maybe from then on into the future if the Earth itself tilts into an ice age, which would be the most dangerous thing that could possibly happen to mankind. Because generally, people do very, very well agriculturally in the warm years, and in the cold years, the production goes down. And, of course, with so many people in the world to feed, if the production goes down, millions and millions of people will starve. In Rio de Janeiro today, a bridegroom fatally shot his new wife, his best man, and then himself, after announcing to horrified guests that he had a surprise for them. Witnesses reported that 29-year-old Rogério Damascena, a sales manager in Camaragibe, outside the northeastern Brazilian city of Recife, did not give any previous indication that anything was wrong at his wedding reception. Brito would not speculate on a possible motive, saying family members were in shock, and he had not interviewed any of them yet. Brito said the killings are believed to be premeditated because of the groom's announcement, and because the groom had hidden a gun in his father's pickup truck. 25-year-old bride Renata Alexandra Costa Coelho and best man Marcelo Guimarães were killed, both of them, in Saturday's murder-suicide. A brother of the bride was treated at a hospital and released. The website Globo.com quoted a sister of the bride who left before the shootings as saying she didn't believe it was a crime of passion. My sister was a wonderful person who loved and wanted to be loved. He was happy, she was happy, but the party was beautiful, his family adored her, and doesn't understand this. He revealed himself as a sociopath who fooled the entire family and killed his best friend, who was the best man. And so there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, the sanctity of marriage. Just when you thought it was okay to come outside, an idea proposed for the money hole known as the U.S. Post Office is about to be adopted, and if it is, your friendly neighborhood postal person may soon be driving a high-tech data collection vehicle that would rival anything Google put to use, but for this time for the government. Of course, everything is for the government. Everything Google does can be utilized by the government. Everything Yahoo does can be utilized by the government. Everything done by the telephone company can be utilized by the government. The services, thousands of delivery vehicles, the postal services, that is, have only one purpose now, and that's to transport mail. Michael Rabinitsky, chief counsel to the chairman of the Postal Regulation Committee, wrote for the New York Times this week and said, but what if they were shifted to sensors to collect and transmit information about weather or air pollutants? The trucks would go from being bulky tools of industrial age communication to being on the cutting edge of 21st century information gathering and forecasting. Data collection wouldn't require much additional staff or resources. All it would take would be a small, cheap, and unobtrusive sensor package mounted on each truck. Rabinitsky said he saw outfitting the trucks would make it significantly easier to spot a problem or anomaly, and the system could assess road quality, catalog potholes, and provide early warning of unsafe road conditions like black ice. Why don't I believe this man? Forget the prospect of weather forecasting or black ice. The federal government is far more interested in collecting data on citizens than it is on reporting road conditions. The NSA and the CIA don't give a hoot about potholes. On Monday, the CIA's favorite newspaper, the Washington Post, told us what we already know. The government has created a massive Stasi-like snoop apparatus in America. The government is creating a vast domestic spying network to collect information about Americans in the wake of the September 11, 2001 fake attacks in New York and subsequent terror plots, writers reported. The government is using for this purpose the FBI, local police, state homeland security forces, and military criminal investigators, and may soon use the post office if Mr. Rabinitsky's proposal is adopted. And you really thought that you were going to get through your life without running into a kind of Nazi government dance in which you have to dance all the time to keep your little rear end from being arrested, didn't you? They're not going to let you go, folks. They've got you. They know they can do anything they want to you. They can grope your genitalia at an airport, and they can look at every move you make out on the street. And they're going to do it. They're going to do it. Oh, yes, they're going to do it. Absolutely. The government's goal is to have every state and local law enforcement agency in the country feed information to Washington to buttress the work of the FBI, which is in charge of terrorism investigations in the United States, explains CBS News. You see, the net isn't closing you. You're doing nothing, but the FBI wants to know all about you, everything you're doing. So you're well within their net as they continue to put up more sources of data collection about you. The FBI is also in the business of setting up patsies in order to promote the manufactured war on terrorism. Well, we've discussed that in here day after day, haven't we? All the patsies that have been set up by the FBI to make it look like they're doing something to end terrorism, when in fact they're just doing nothing but creating a false terrorist in order to make it look as though they're able to do something effective, when in fact there is no terrorism. Everything contained within the Post's article, the Washington Post, has already been reported and covered in depth by Alex Jones at his Infowars.com, and by others in the alternative media that have consistently warned of the threat of the exponential rise of the Big Brother spy system over the past decade, writes Steve Watson of Infowars.com. The Washington Post report notes that such suspicious activity reports are just one piece of information being collected at the local and state levels and fed into a vast Guardian database via fusion centers, which ultimately connect to the FBI, the DHS, and even the Department of Defense, Watson continues. So there you have it. Like I say, you thought that, you know, that you were going to be able to live your life during your own little time without anybody coming after you, and here they are thinking of putting sensors into post office trucks so that things that are happening in your area can be cataloged. Yeah, of course, they already have plenty of TV cameras on the streets, and they're going to put more and more of them there so that no matter what you do, you can be under surveillance. Because after all, when it comes to terrorism, you are the terrorist. Of course, we all know that the real terrorist is the federal government. The government that is doing everything possible to shut down freedom in this country, to surveil every citizen, and to end the right to privacy, which we used to have until electronics was invented, with cameras and with devices that can sense body temperatures on the sidewalks so that people in faraway corners can tell whether or not there's a person at this or that coordinate on everybody's sidewalk. You know, you're not going to get out of this world without these people doing exactly what they want with you. Now, we talked today about how they're going to try to get as much money out of you as they can for just taking a little look at a movie from Netflix. Now they want you to pay for it being transmitted over a bunch of electric wires, which shouldn't really cost anything because the wires are there. Why should it cost any more? It doesn't take any more fuel to push something across the wires. It just takes more and more and faster switches for these things to work out nicely. Things that are being developed automatically at no additional cost to anybody. But, you know, you live in a capitalist country here. They've been screwing you all your life. You used to be able to buy a shirt for maybe 25 or 50 cents. Now a shirt could cost you $30, $40, $50. And you used to be able to buy those shirts at a place down the street. They'd have shirts on hangers. You'd look at them, try one on. If it fit, you could buy it for 25 cents, put it on, and leave. Now you have to go to some sort of a supermarket of clothes like Walmart just to buy a shirt, and the shirts today will cost you anywhere from $5, like I say, up to $50, and you just don't get it, do you? You just don't get it. You see, the reason it costs you more is that these fat capitalist pigs are getting bigger and bigger industries, and it costs more and more and more to run them, so that they can get the money from you that normally went to little stores that were right down the street. And it's all a part of the franchising of enterprise into fewer and fewer hands that have to be paid for. And you're the one that's going to pay it. You and I. They have this all planned out, what they want. They want everything. They want your freedom. They want your tax money. They want your usury money. They want wars so that they can borrow money from banks, so that they can get more money from the banks for their re-election. War after war after war. Arms and legs being blown to shreds out on the battlefield for nothing, just for the convenience of the politicians and for the banks to get more and more money out of your back pocket. I don't know. You just don't get it, do you? You've got 3 Jews on the Supreme Court and 6 Catholics, and it's supposed to represent everybody in America, but somehow 3 Jews and 6 Catholics do not represent the United States. Does that represent the United States, do you think? I don't think that it does. I don't think that having Jews own almost every newspaper, TV station, and radio station in America, through their ability to purchase these things because they own the banks and have the money as a resource for themselves and for no one else, I don't think that that serves the country either. It's caused us to have war after war after war for the convenience of the Jewish bankers who are related to those who own these instruments of propaganda. These very people who started the Soviet Union and ran it as a killing mechanism, killing more than 60 million people in 20 years there, and many of whom sailed there from New York in order to run it as a killing field. And yet they didn't tell you that because, oh, I forgot to tell you. We owned the newspaper, so of course we didn't want to tell you, and we didn't want to tell on ourselves and let you know what we were doing, because then you wouldn't let us come back to America and do it there, too. While our relatives, who were a little bit older than us, come back a little bit later and eat chop suey at Brighton Beach and speak everything in Russian and enjoy themselves at your expense. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a very, very wicked world, a world in which our national defense isn't even considered anymore, where the borders are wide open and Mexicans walk across the borders along with Arabs and Chinese and everybody else that can touch the sand with their bare toes coming across from Mexico, while your government does nothing to save you or your civilization, but allows these foreigners to become more and more of the population, and you to become fewer and fewer of the population, so that your civilization will be just totally destroyed, and theirs will be the one that takes over. So there you have it. You're allowing them to do it, and guess what? You deserve to die out. I have no respect for you anymore. You won't lift a finger to protect yourself. So why should I even consider you as a people? Do you really care about yourselves? Do you care about your children, your grandchildren? Do you care about your history? Do you care about your country? Do you care about your race? Do you care about your religion? If so, why are you allowing your nation to become used by the religions and nationalities of other people who have invaded you day by day and who are tightening their net around you? And as this happens, your own country is becoming more and more elevated into spying upon you, turning its keen gaze at everything that you do, clocking you on the internet so that it can tell every search that you've made, no matter what the search engine, so they can tell whatever telephone call you've made every day of your life, because these records are kept in Israel in a central repository by a corporation that takes all of these pieces of information and relays them to your telephone company for billing you for your long-distance calls. And so that any police anywhere in the world who want to find out who you called have to go to that particular company in Israel in order to get that information. And much of this information is stored in Israel, which is the repository of the world's information now. This country, which is made up of people who escaped from the Soviet Union after founding it and running it as a killing field, as a propaganda organ, as an evil, evil nation of death for Europeans. And now in Europe and elsewhere, where the Jews have a lot of power, they have created situations in which Arabs come to your country and build mosques and take over more and more of your land and more of your population. So what good is it for you even to try to defend yourself in a situation like that? How is it that you haven't conceived of the fact that they might be doing these things against you, that they might have it out for you, that they want to do things to destroy you? They've destroyed others. They're destroying the Palestinians in Gaza and elsewhere, and they're calling their democratic representatives, such as Hamas and Hezbollah, who are elected people and people who are basically social workers in those areas, they're calling them terrorists because they don't want Israel to continue to exist, because Israel's continued existence means death to the Palestinians, and they love their own people as much as the Jewish people love their own people. And so, loving their own people, they are resisting the takeover of their government. And so what then is going to happen in the future? Well, we know what's going to happen in Israel. These people are going to be utterly destroyed, as they have been all along. Well, what then are you going to do about it? And the answer is, you're going to do absolutely nothing about it, because you don't even care about your own existence. You've done nothing to stop this destruction of your nation, destruction of your economy by these same people that ran the Soviet Union and run Israel, because you've been told to try to protect yourself would be anti-Semitic, or some other stupid name that they use to cower you, to make you feel as though you can't do anything, because if you do, they might call you a dirty name. And of course, just calling you a dirty name would make you just chicken out and become nothing but a yellow-striped person who doesn't care about anybody but themselves, who only cares about what other people think about you. So what there is in your life that makes you tick, I don't know. I've become very, very upset by all of you out there and your inability to do anything to save yourselves. I just don't understand you. And you must have an awful lot of self-hatred and contempt for you to be doing this to yourself over and over and over again, allowing other people to do things to you that are inimical to your mental and social health. And yet you allow them to do it. You don't lift a finger to stop it. The FCC is trying to determine what happens to the Internet. The Internet is your ability to see things around the world in the future. And for you to allow other people to determine these things for yourself is, well, it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing at all. But you're allowing it to happen. You're absolutely allowing it to happen, and I just wonder what's going on with you. Are you all there? Are you mentally there? Don't you understand what's happening? Don't you read the news? If you listen to me, I tell you things about this every day. What have you done? Have you called your congressman? Have you called your senator and said that you want to have a free and open internet? Not that they would listen to you, because you're now only one of 700,000 people that they represent. So why should they care about what you think? You're just a speck. You're just a speck. You've lost almost all hope in this country because you've allowed the population to overgrow the government. So that in a democracy where you're supposed to have some sort of say, you're not going to have any say, because not only has the population grown, but the banks, with their huge reservoir of money, have been able to grow a huge gaggle of politicians who will do everything that they want. Nothing that you want. Because what you want is against what the bankers want. And the bankers count far more than you. As a matter of fact, your congressman right now is up in New York licking the faces of the bankers, asking them for more money, so they can come back to your district and lie to you in the newspapers and on TV stations and radio stations in advertisements that pack one lie after another and tell you how wonderful your congressman is, how he works for your freedom, how he works to keep your child educated, how he works for roads and bridges in your state, how he works to make sure that your country is secure from terrorism, and one platitude after another, and another, and another. And of course you have no idea if what they're saying is true or not, but you have a suspicion that they're lying. And you're absolutely right. And now as you get ready for whatever it is you're going to do with the rest of your day, take time out to think just for a moment. What is it that I can do to save myself? To save my children, my grandchildren, my wife, my husband. What is it that I can do to save my state and my nation? What can I do? The ball is in your court. Grab the ball and move with it and do what you must do to save yourself.